Today's shiur will be beginning on the Aflamed Dalet Amud Beis in Maseches Bava Basra, three lines from the bottom. Before we begin the Gemara inside, we will take advantage of the Shas Ozer and the additions that it has. As you can see on your screen, on the side of your Gemara, on the right-hand side, we have something entitled as the Nosei. And it indicates there that this topic will go to Lamed Hei Amud Beis. And we'll read our introductory notes. Ze Omer Shelavosai Veze Omer Shelavosai. If two people claiming possession of either an article or of land, Ve'ein Lohem Lo Shtar V'lo Chazoka. Neither one has any advantage over the other. No one has a shtar, no one has a chazoka. All we have are these claims. Omar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman rules Kol de Olim Gvar. Let the stronger man win. When we get into the Gemara, we're going to notice markings. The first marking you'll notice is a diamond, but that diamond is already something that we've discussed in the past. It's part of a series that began a while ago. The next marking that we're going to notice are there's a circled name of Nachman, because he's the central name in this particular sugya. After that, we'll see triangles. And the triangles, they're beginning here on Lamed Dalamed Beis, but of course, we're trying to develop the ability to scan and not just focus on individual words, but to scan the page. When we see a geometric form, it means that there's something of a repetitive nature or of a series form. Hence, you should look for another triangle, and if you do, and you're able to scroll down to Daf Lamed Hey Omid Aleph, or if you're using a bound edition, you can just glance over at the facing page and you see another triangle. What are they doing? So our note on the side, the Mivne, it's the structural note, says that the triangle is around the expression Maishna. Shnei She'elois al Rav Nachman will be asking two questions about his Shita. Ma hehevdeil bein mikre zeh shepasak kol de olim gvar. What's different about this case, the case which we already introduced, in which he rules that let the stronger man win, lemikrim achirim shelo poskim kach, as opposed to some other cases that the Gemara will feature. Also cases of doubt of ownership. But we don't paskin like Rav Nachman. So we'll now begin the Gemara inside. Ze oimer shel avosai, veze oimer shel avosai. Omer Rav Nachman, kol de olim gvar. So after each one claims, belongs to my father, and I inherited it, each one makes such a claim. Rav Nachman says, let the stronger man win. And as we mentioned in our introductory note, based on the Rashbam, neither party here has any advantage over the other. No one has a shtar, no one has a chazoka. The Gemara asks, Umay shno mishnei shtoros hayoytzin b'yoyim echod. What's the difference between the case that Rav Nachman paskins on and the following case? Imagine Reuven writes a shtar matona to Shimon and a shtar to Levi concerning the same piece of property that he's interested in giving as a gift. And the Gemara describes it as the Shnei Shtoros Hayotzen B'Yom Echad, and this have the same date. So you can't put your finger on who the first guy to receive it is. It's the same date. How is such a thing resolved? The Rav Omar Yachloku. The two receivers, will split the property. Shmuel Omar Shudo Dedaini. According to Shmuel, it's a decision left up to the court. The court, the judges will analyze, they'll look at which one of the two receivers had some reason for the giver to opt to prefer one over the other. So Shuda Dadaini, it's a legal decision based on what the judges feel, who was the closer one to the giver, and he will get it. Whatever the case, neither one is saying Kol Dolam Gvar. And hence, this presents a kasha on Rav Nachman. The Gemara answers, Hosam, in the case of the Shnei Shtoros, Leko Lamekam Alo Dilmilsa. There is no way to resolve the matter. So we take this, we'll call it maybe a default position, namely, well, there's no way to resolve it, so let them split it. Or we'll leave it up to the judges to make the decision. Hocha, in the case that Rav Nachman was addressing, Iko Lamekam Alo Demilsa. Let's take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. You'll find about halfway down his commentary, Hosam Leko Lamekam Alo Demilsa. In the case of the Shnei Shtoros HaYotzim B'Yom Echad, Mishum Dehano Trei Shtori, Trevayu Shovin B'Momon U'Bizman, they're, as far as the two Shtoros are concerned, they are all equal in terms of what it concerns, the Momon and the date. V'Lomotzi L'Achzuke Hai Tfei Me'idoch. And no one would be able to lay claim on it more than the other. Mishumachi Omar Mor Yachloku Mor Amar Shuda Dadaini. Rab said Yachloku. Shmuel said, "Let the judges decide." Avol Hocha, Iko Lamekam Alo Demilsa. But in the case of the that Rav Nachman was addressing, where you have two fellows, each one claiming Shel Avosai, the Chol Chad Minayu Motzi Maisi Hayom Umocher Edim Dedidehu He, the Lav Dechavrei, because maybe today, tomorrow, one of them might be successful in bringing witnesses that it in fact belonged to his father and not to the other guy. Mishumachi lo amrina diachloku. That's why we don't want to have a split, because if you have a split, there is definitely someone getting something he shouldn't have. Ela kol dolam gvar. Bezin doesn't get involved. Let them fight it out. Let the stronger man win. Continuing in the Gemara, Umay Shno Meho Disnan, noticing the triangle again, we're presenting cases of doubt, just like Rav Nachman presented us with a case of doubt. Rav Nachman resolved his case with Kol Dolam Gvar, and then we're asking, what about these other cases where there's also a matter of doubt concerning ownership, but the resolution is not the same as Rav Nachman? So what's this case? The source, as you can see, there's a frame around these three lines that indicates that the content within the frame is of a Tanaic nature. That's how the marking system works, as presented by the Gemara markings system. The source says, Hamachlif Poro B'chamor, the Yolda. It was an exchange made of between two people. One took a pora, the other one took a chamor, and it gave birth. V'chein ha-mocher shibchoso v'yolda. Likewise, a case where someone sold his maidservant and she bore a child. Ze omer ad shelo mocharti yolda. One says that before the sale was clinched, she gave birth. No, after the deal was clinched, the mother bore the child. In other words, the mother bore the child in my rishus, in my possession. What's the resolution? Yachloku. They take the value of the offspring and divide it. The resolution of division is not the same as Rav Nachman, who said Kol Dolam Gvar. So what's the difference between the cases? If we can point out a difference between the cases, then we can understand that there's a difference in terms of the ruling. So the Gemara explains, Hasam, in the case of Machlif Pora B'chamor, where a deal was clinched, and there was doubt in whose possession the child was born when they made the deal. They, you know how they make these deals? They could take a handkerchief, and the seller takes the buyer's handkerchief, and that clinches a deal. He doesn't see the animal or see the maidservant at which point it gave birth. So there's a matter of doubt. Each one claiming it was in their possession that the offspring was born. The Gemara explains there's a difference between this case of Machlif Pora B'Chamor and the case that Rav Nachman was dealing with when the two fellows were each one claiming Ze Omer Shel Avosai Ve Ze Omer Shel Avosai. Hasam, in the case of the animal, or the shivcha, the birth, lahai is le drora de mamoina, ulahahu is le drora de mamoina. We'll explain this momentarily. Hacha, however, in the case that Rav Nachman was dealing with, e demor lo demor, e demor lo demor. Okay, now let's proceed to explain this. We're going to look first at the Rashbam. He's found on Lamed Hei Omed Aleph. And after we look at the Rashbam, we'll then take a look at the Tosfos, which is on Lamed Hei Omed Beis. The Rashbam says, the lower part of the page, Hosam Gabi Hamachlif Por B'Chamor L'Travayu Islehu Dror D'Mamona. This expression may appear to be elusive, so we'll try to explain it in the context of the Rashbam's commentary. So each one has a drora de mamona. What is that? Shehapora v'hashivcha, the pora case or the shivcha case, shel shnehem oisa, bozeh achar zeh. The animal was owned by both of them. One for it was owned by the seller and then owned by the buyer, and likewise the shivcha was owned by both of them. V'chol echod v'echod toyein, and each one is saying pora si, the shivcha si, my pora, my shivcha yolda v'yosa birshu si, when they were in my possession. Inami b'shas chalipin yolda v'ein levarer shemi have havlad, or could be that at the point that they made the kinyan, they clinched the deal with a chalipin, the animal gave birth, or the shivcha gave birth, and we can't figure out in whose rishus it gave birth. Therefore, yachloku, hilkoch yachloku. The Rashbam adds parenthetical information, but we'll look at it now just for the sake of completion. He says, v'shuda d'daini leka l'meimar hocha. Here we would never think to say shuda d'daini, let the judges decide the case based on the way things appear to them. Afilu l'shmuel, even Shmuel, who previously said in resolving the shnei shtoros b'yom echad case, he said, yes, shuda d'daini, d'lo shayach l'meimar elagabi matono l'shnayim. That's only possible to say, to rule, in a case where an item was given to two people, Shiru Bezin Lioev Yoser. The Bezin will decide who the giver liked more. The day Gomer Machni was unto him that the one he liked more, that's the one he really gave it to. Aval Hocha, but the Rav Nachman, but in the case of Rav Nachman, Shezet Omer Shel Avosai Bechulei, it's different. We're describing the difference between the case of Machlif Pora, the sale of the animal and the offspring was born, we don't know in whose rishus, and the case of Ze Omer Shel Avosai, Ze Omer Shel Avosai, Rav Nachman's case. And the Gemara said, in the case of Machlif Pora, with the birth of the offspring and our doubt in whose rishus, in that case, each one has a Drora de Mamona. Let us look at the Tosfos commentary on that as well. Dror de Mamona Pirush. The Dal remove Ta'anosaihu Mehocha. Their claims, the people's claims, even without the people's claims, yesh sofek lebeisdin. There's an objective sofek. Without anyone saying anything, one is in doubt. When did the animal give birth? Because the animal was not in front of us, necessarily, when the deal was being clinched. So without the parties claiming, it's mine, without that, there's a sofek lebeisdin. Tehei minayu havei havlad. Im nolad kodem shemochar o achar shemochar. And Tosfos points out this same type of sofek appears in other cases in Shas. V'chein b'shor shenogeh chasapor v'nimsa ubra b'tzida. A case where there was a goring, and so you have a mazik and a nizik, and the gored animal was pregnant around that time, and there was an offspring found dead after the goring. Belo tanosa misupokim based in echoyamaisa. Even without the tainus, there still is an element of doubt in that case of the goring of the pregnant animal. Im koidem shenol koyol, that could be that out of fright, the victim animal saw the oncoming horns about to come into contact with it. It got fright and it miscarried before the goring. So the mazik is not going to be responsible. That's kodem shenol chiyoda, o le'achar shenol ka, or as a result of the goring. So even without tainus over there, we don't know. We just, it's a case that's, and that's how Tosfos defines it, that's a case called dror the mamona, meaning there's an objective doubt without the tainus of the parties. V'chein b'shor rodef achar shor acher v'huzak. Yesh l'stapik im b'shor huzak. There was an animal, one chasing another, and after all the dust cleared, we see one animal hurt, and we don't know whether it was the pursuing animal that hurt the victim, as it was escaping, as it was running away, it fell on a stone, in other words, without contact with the mazik animal, with the damaging animal. V'chein b'chomokom depligi rabbonon v'sumchus, and all the cases that you find rabbonon and sumchus arguing, where Sumchus says Moman Amuta B'Sofek Cholkin, and Rabbona disagree. Avol Hocha B'Zeh Omer Shel Avosai Shal Pi Tanoi Sehem Bo HaSofek, where they're creating the Sofek, you guys are creating the Sofek, so you guys fight it out. That's Amrinan Kol Dolim Gvar. So that's Tosfos' explanation, Chiluk, between the case of the Machlif Pora and the Ubro, and the offspring was found, we don't know before or after the sale. There's an objective doubt. So when there's an objective doubt, so the source said, we'll resolve that with Yachloku. But where they create the doubt, the people created the doubt, then let them fight it out. Let's continue in the Gemara. Amri Nahardoi. V'im bo echod min hashuk. The hichsik bo. Imagine a third party comes and is machsik in the land that Rav Nachman ruled called the Olam Gvar. Apparently, as some outsider, it's even stronger. Remember, we have these two guys, each one saying, Zelmer Shal Avosa, and some outsider came and he grabbed the land. Ein moitzian oisa miyadoi. He can keep it. The Tani Rabbi Chia, Gazlon Shel Rabim, Lav Shmei Gazlon. The concept here of Gazlon Shel Rabim is under circumstances like this. He took from two people who were fighting over something. It's Lav Shmei Gazlon means that we do not treat him as we would treat a regular goslin. How do you treat a regular goslin? You force him through a court of law to pay back what he stole. So we're saying here, we will not do that. The court will not force him to release what he took. Rav Ashi Omar, Le'olam Shmei Goslin, meaning that we do take it away from him and restore it to its position amongst the two that were fighting. But what about the source? The source said, lo shmei gazlan. Umay lo shmei gazlan. What does that mean? It means as follows. He's not like a regular gazlan in the sense that a regular gazlan has a chance to restore the item to the proper owner. Guy stole something. He knows who he stole it from, so he returns it to the proper owner. In this case, it can't be returned to the proper, because we don't know who the proper owner is. That's shelo nitan lihishavon. Lihishavon means to be returned. It's not given to be returned. With that, we finished a rather long series of cases that had started a number of datum ago. If one traces back the series of diamonds, he's going to land back on Daf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. And we had presented this under the Mivneh heading there, that there was a series of cases that would continue till here. All these cases involve challenges of ownership or doubts of ownership. At this point, we go back to the Mishnah. Chezkoson sholoi shonim miyom liyoim. Vechulei. Before we go into the Gemara, let us take a look at our introductory note on the side under the heading Nosei. Edus shehama'arer mir'e oizer lamachzik b'lekita saperos. The situations where we find the complainer, the challenger, actually helping the possessor in collecting the fruits. So you have someone challenging ownership, but that same guy is helping the possessor, the one who's machzik. Omar Rabbi Abba, I doli le ihu gufei sona de piri. If there is testimony that the ma'arer himself, ihu gufei, the ma'arer himself, doli le, picked up a sona de piri, a basket of fruits, and helped him in collecting the fruits, le alter have chazaka. It's like the antithesis of a macho. A macho would be a protest. Here he's actually helping. He's helping him in using the land. Omar Rav Zvid. However, Rav Zvid qualifies. V'im to'an. If this ma'arer, after he helped him in collecting the fruits, claimed the Omar and said, Le Peros Hoi Raditiv. Well, I allowed him use of the land only with respect to the fruits, not ownership of the land, but to gain benefit of the fruits, bought fruit rights. Namon. It's a legitimate explanation to his activity, why he was helping him. In other words, his helping him wasn't a sign that the possessor is a real owner of it now, but rather, that was the deal they made, that he would get fruit rights. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. Under the Gemara, a few lines, Omar Rav Zvid, I toin hama'arer, boser de doli le lelokeach tzona de peri, after he helped him lift his basket of fruits, the peros haraditiv, kedin, oris, I allowed him to use the land as a sharecropper uses. L'mechtso, l'shishuvia, v'chelko hu de doli lei. The arrangement with sharecroppers is that they would get a share of the crops, hence the name, sharecropper. And I was just helping him with his portion. Ne'emon, klomar. What does that mean, ne'emon? Lo hifsid b'may de doli lei. He doesn't lose by the owner having helped this possessor. The Gemara goes on, though, this idea that the owner is believed with his claim now that the peros are additive and hence doesn't lose ownership of the field, v'hani mili b'soch sholosh, that he's saying this within 3 years. Because if it were so that it was actually sold, then the second fellow should be able to produce a shtar. If he can't produce the shtar, and the original owner is saying, I was just helping him with fruits that he bought rights to, so the owner, the original owner, is believed. Continuing in the Gemara, Avol li'achar sholosh, if this taina of leperus eruditiv is made after 3 years goes by, loy, then he's not believed. We're going to say you should have protested within 3 years. Omar le Rav Ashi Rav Kano, e lepiro achtei. Let us imagine a case where someone was in fact given or bought fruit rights. He bought fruit rights for 10 years. My havi le lemefad. What should the owner do? If that was the original deal, so what should he possibly do to prevent a misunderstanding regarding ownership is concerned? Amale, iboyale limchuye. If you sold your field with regard to fruit rights for 10 years, then you better make sure that within 3 years that you issue a macha. Let it be known that the guy that's using it has only fruit rights. And notice we have a long answer marking, because the question that was just addressed to us was, what happens if you're telling me that after 3 years a person is not believed to say, I sold it for fruit rights? Let us say a person actually sold it for fruit rights on a 10-year lease. The Gemara asks, what's he supposed to do? So at this point, we're really beginning a long answer. That's the long vertical dashed line you see between the Gemara and the Tosfos, Tshuva. We're answering what he's supposed to do. So what did the Gemara say? He's supposed to issue a protest within 3 years. And the Gemara explains, the e lo yitema hochi. If you don't say that such a macha helps, Hani mashkanta desura. We've mentioned this arrangement in the past. This is a situation where a lender receives as collateral a piece of land, and the loan is paid off by use of the land. So we say after 5 years of use, loan is paid off. Notice I use an example, 5 years. You have a situation where the guy might be using the land. The lender is actually using someone else's land, because he has the land only as collateral. It's not his land, mamish. So he's using this land, but not for 2 years, not for 3 years, not for four, for 5 years. What's the text of the Mashkanta Desura? What's the text in this type of arrangement? A document is written up. The Kosav Behu, there's written out regarding this collateral arrangement. It says in that agreement that with the completion of this number of years, and they fix a certain number of years that they agree upon, this piece of land goes back without any further payments. In other words, the loan is considered paid up. Imagine the lender, the malve, would hide this document indicating the real arrangement. Gabe, he would hide it by him, somewhere by him, is in his possession. The Omar, and he would claim Lekucha hi biyadi. And say, he would announce, toward the end of the loan period, several years goes by, say, hey, this is mine, I bought this land. Now, 3 years have gone by. Hachi nami de mehemon. Would you think that he should be believed? V'chi teima hachi nami. And if you say, that's right, if a guy has land more than 3 years, and if he says he bought it, he could be believed. Mesakni rabbonon midi diosi bei lidei pseida, would the rabbonon establish a financial institution, namely mashkanta desura? This mashkanta desura was something that appears through rabbinic approval. would they create something that could lead to loss? So what do you have to assume? That part of part of this arrangement is the following. The borrower is expected to issue some kind of announcement. Limchuya literally means a protest, but here it's more of an announcement that the guy using the land is not the real owner. I am the real owner. Of course, if the guy using land is the real owner, he'll watch his shtar. That's the whole point of the machal, to put someone on notice. So hachanami, so too in the case of a sharecropper or someone that you sold, if someone you sold might have sold outright the fruit rights for 10 years. Similarly, in that case, Iboyale Limchuye, the original owner, the real owner of the land, who sold the fruit rights, had better issue an announcement, a complaint, a protest, that let it be known the person using the land only has fruit rights. And he does that within 3 years. With that, we have completed our shiur for today.